We are continuing our study of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 9. Our passage today is going to be verses 19 to 23. The Apostle Paul writes, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." Now this passage finds us right in the middle of a discussion that began in chapter 8 and is going to go all the way into chapter 10. The initial issue that Paul was addressing was whether Christians, the people in Corinth, were allowed to eat food that had previously been sacrificed to idols. Now, I know this is not something that we ordinarily have to deal with on a regular basis, at least not in our country. But back at that time, pretty much any meat that they would buy would have previously been sacrificed to some pagan god, and so Christians were like, I don't know if we should be eating this. Most of the Corinthians were like, no, it's fine. It's fine because food is food, it's neutral, it doesn't matter. We're Christians, we don't have food laws, we can eat whatever we want, it's fine. And Paul says, yes, it's true, we're Christians, we can eat whatever we want, but, not everyone knows that. There are unbelievers who don't know that, and they may think all kinds of stuff when you eat food sacrificed to idols. And there are even believers who are not quite sure about this, and what are they going to think if you start eating that kind of food? And so what Paul is doing now in chapter 9, he is trying to teach them a principle. And the principle is, as Christians, sometimes, even if we have the right to do something, that doesn't necessarily mean that we should do it, but we should be willing to lay aside our rights for the sake, for the spiritual benefit of others who can't handle it. Even if I have the right to do something, like eat this food that has been sacrificed to idols, I must be willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to eat it if this is going to benefit spiritually someone else, if it's going to help someone else. So what he does in chapter 9 that we've been looking at over the past few Sundays, he wants to give an example of someone who has a right to do something but is not using that right for the sake of others. And the example that he brings is himself. And he says, now, I have the right as your minister, as your preacher, to be supported by you, he says to the Corinthian church. But when I came to you and I was with you, I didn't do that. I went and I got a job because I figured that this was going to cause some trouble. This was going to hinder the preaching of the gospel. So I didn't do it. Even though I had a right to it, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And so that brings us to today's passage. In verse 19, he says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant," or a slave actually in the Greek, "to all, that I might win the more." He says, even though I'm free, and this is probably a reference to the previous verses where he said that he didn't take money from anyone. He's Christ's slave. He does what Christ tells him to do. And I think he's saying, I'm free from everyone in that I don't work for you. I work for Jesus. All right? Even though I'm free from anyone, from everyone, I make myself voluntarily the slave of everyone. I give up my rights for everyone else. Why would you do that, Paul? This is why. That I may win the more. I have a goal, that's why. My goal is to win people to Christ. And if something gets in the way of that, I'm chucking it. My goal is the spiritual benefit of other people. It's not about what are my rights, what are my rewards, what do I get out of this. I'm concerned about others. Paul loved other people, and he wanted to see other people get saved. He wanted to see other Christians grow up. And so he says, whatever it is that's getting in the way of that, I'm setting it aside. And I have a goal, he says, to win the more. Look, here, this, we had five verses for today, and he repeats that six times. Look at this, look at this. I want to show you. Verse 19 at the end, that I might win the more. Then verse 20. He says, the Jews, I became like a Jew, that I might win the Jews. Then he says to those under the law, at the end of verse 20, at the end of the verse 20, that I might win those who are under the law. Then verse 21, for those who are not under the law, at the end he says, that I might win those who are without the law. Then verse 22, he talks about the weak. In the middle of the verse, verse 22, he says, that I might win the weak. And then he makes it even more clear, at the end of verse 22, that I might by all means save some. That's what he means when he says win them. Save people. This is why I do everything. This is why I do everything. This is my the course of my life. I want to see other people saved. And so I give up my rights. I become a slave to everyone. If this will help someone get saved, I will be their slave to win people. Now, I want to make sure we get this, because we've been talking about giving up our rights over the past, for the past month, it seems. I want us to understand, giving up your rights is not an end in and of itself. We're not doing that just for the sake of doing it. All right? Paul didn't do that just for the sake of doing it. There were plenty of times where Paul said, oh, hold on, I have rights. There were plenty of times that he did that. There were times when they were going to arrest him and beat him up, throw him into jail, and he would pull out his passport and say, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. You're not allowed to do that to me. And they're like, oh, sorry, can't do that. Right? So he has no problem standing on his rights if need be. That's not the issue. The issue isn't just becoming a doormat. There you go. So people can step on you. That's not the point. That's not what he's interested in. What he's interested in is setting aside rights for the sake of the gospel. He does that, he does that when it will help him achieve his goal, which is to win more people to Christ. He wants the spiritual good of others. If he knows that no one is going to have a problem with what he's doing, if he knows that, hey, no one has a problem with me eating bacon, I'll eat the bacon. He's got no problem with that. But in each situation, he has to think about it and make a choice. And what will this contribute to the spread of the gospel or not? If it will, I'll do it. If it hinders it, then I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So look what he says in verse 20. He says, to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. What Paul's talking about here is how he is willing to adjust his lifestyle in order to evangelize different people groups. To the Jews, he says, I've become like a Jew to win the Jews. And then he gives the primary characteristic of the Jew, which is that he is under the law. I think he's talking about the Mosaic law, the Mosaic covenant, which the Jews are under. And he says, for those who are under the law, I'll be under the law. And then he switches it and he says, to the Gentiles, in essence, those who are not under this system, I'll be like them too, to win the more. Now, before we get into this, there's something on the side that I find fascinating here. Paul says something fascinating, and I think it's very important. I want you to notice here Paul doesn't view himself as a Jew. But what? Look, he says in verse 20, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. I became like a Jew for them. You're like, but wait a minute, but we know that Paul is Jewish. We know that he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's, you know, of the tribe of Benjamin. We know he's ethnically, genealogically, we know he's Jewish. But he says to the Jew, I became like a Jew. Now at the same time, he also doesn't view himself as a Gentile. He says to the Gentiles, I became like a Gentile. So it's not that, well, I'm a Jewish person, but I'm willing to give up my rights and compromise for the sake of winning the Gentiles. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, I'm a Gentile, but I'm willing to bend over backwards for the sake of the Jews. So I can say that. He doesn't say that either. He's putting himself in a whole different category. What is that category? What could he be? Isn't Jew and Gentile everything? Well, he says, I'm a Christian. My citizenship is in heaven. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through. Like Hebrews talks about Abraham, who realized that he's just a sojourner here, a pilgrim. Paul's ultimate allegiance is not to the nation of Israel or to any other nation for that matter. His allegiance is to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God above everything. Everything. And everything else is under that. I lived in the United States for about 3 years. And when we went there with Savula, wanted to find a church. We were looking at different churches. And there was this Baptist church that I'd heard was a relatively good church. So we went there. Now, we go, and there's the pulpit. And there's the American flag. I'm like, okay. I can live with that. We're in America. But there was some kind of national holiday. And so the whole church stood up and took the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I didn't take the Pledge of Allegiance. First of all, I don't even know the words. And secondly, even if I did know the words, I wouldn't say them because I'm not an American. I don't pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Okay? What I was thinking while they were doing that was like, I came here to worship Jesus. If we were pledging allegiance to Jesus, I'd be all for it. Why are we doing this exactly? The church is not an American institution. It's not a national institution. Peter talks of the church as believers as a holy nation, a special people. Amongst all nations, we are a holy nation to God. Now, I don't mean to bash any Americans here. So let me give you a Greek example too, because Greeks do the same thing. Over 95% of the population in Greece is Greek Orthodox, right? I have heard Greek Orthodox people and Greek Orthodox priests speak of Greek people who are not Greek Orthodox, like myself, and they say, you are anti-Greek. You're anti-Greece. You're anti-Hellenistic. Because you are denying your heritage. You're denying your history. You don't love your country because you are not Greek Orthodox. And I'm like, Christianity is not a Greek institution. The church is not a national institution. It's international. It's not about being American or Greek or anything like that. Look, I'm not saying it's bad if you love your country, if you love your culture, if you pledge allegiance to your country. That's fine. What we need to understand as Christians, though, any allegiances that we may have are going to be way lower than our allegiance to Jesus Christ. And I mean way lower. I'm not talking here's Jesus and then everything else is here. I'm talking it's not even the same sport. Completely different. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. This world is going to pass away. We're part of something eternal. So Paul, and we should, together with Paul, say, I am going to do what needs to be done for my king and for my kingdom before any national, cultural needs. And someone may say, Nico, no, you're asking too much. No, this is how we do it here. We're Greeks, or we're Americans, or we're whatever. This is how we do it. This is how we've been doing it forever, and I'm not changing. I don't want to change. This is how I do it. Well, here's my question. Are you willing to change for anyone or anything? I don't know. Are you willing to change certain things that you do for the spiritual benefit of others? So that you may see other people get saved? Because Paul is saying, what I do is, I modify my habits, my lifestyle, my preferences, things that I like and I don't like. I don't just say, well, this is how I like it, so this is how I do it. I adjust things in order to be able to preach the gospel to people. Okay? So what does Paul do? Let's just look at this really quick. What does Paul do? He says to the Jews, to those who are under the law, I became like one under the law. Now, I believe there he's talking about the old Mosaic covenant, the law of the Old Testament. And Paul is not under the old covenant. He's under the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. But he says, you know what? If I want to reach Jews, Jews are really big on circumcision and on food laws and the way that they dress and their Sabbaths and all these things. And Paul is like, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll circumcise Timothy if that'll open up our... yeah, I know. I'll do it to him. I'll circumcise Timothy if that'll open up the doors to go and preach at the synagogues. I'll eat their food. I'll dress the way they dress. It's fine. Who cares? If this will help them hear the gospel, I'll do it. And then he says, and to the Gentiles? I'll dress the way they dress. I'll eat their food. I'll eat the bacon. It's fine. If that's what they offer me, I'll do it. I don't care. My concern is that they get saved. Who cares about those things? But Paul has a small parenthesis here in verse 21, right as he's saying that for those who are without law, that's the Gentiles, and he says, oh yeah, I'll be without law, I'll be like them. He doesn't want anyone to think that when he says, I'll be without the law, that, well, that means that I'll just do anything. It's fine. I'll just give up everything. I'll be as lawless as the Gentiles. He wants to make sure that you don't think that. And so in the parentheses, he says, not that I'm without law towards God, okay? But I am under the law of Christ. In other words, look, I'm still a Christian here, okay? Even though I'm willing to do, I'll do whatever you want. Let's go eat, let's go drink, let's go do what you want. But still realize that I am a Christian. I don't want to sin. Okay, I'm not lawless. Paul is not saying, well, to the adulterer, I'll become an adulterer so I can win the adulterers. We're not saying that. To the idolater, I'll become an idolater so I can win idolaters. He's not saying that. I am very flexible, he is saying. But there is a line that I'm not going to cross because that's sin and I'm a Christian. All right? He just wanted to make you know that this is how we're doing it. So I'll do what I can do. I'll flex any way that I can. But there is a line that I can't cross because I don't want to sin. Now, you may be reading all this and you'd be saying, Nico, this sounds kind of complicated. This whole, okay, well, I can do this. I can't do this. This I can kind of do. I don't know. Depends on the situation. This is a lot of work. Yeah, it is. It is. It is work. It is complicated. It is difficult. Life can get complicated. There's black and white, and then there's the gray in the middle. We're like, okay, here are things that I can do. I know. This is obedience to Christ here. Then these are things that I cannot do. This is disobedience to Christ here. But there's this middle road here, where it's things that don't really matter either way. Don't really matter either way. What kind of food you eat, how you eat, how you dress, certain traditions, certain cultures. And Paul is saying we need to be able to be in this middle path right here. How can I explain this? We don't want to be. There are some people who will say, no, that's too much work. It's too difficult. I don't want to fall into sin. So I'm just going to stick over here. I'm just going to stay over here where it's safe. I'm not going to have anything to do with unbelievers because I may fall into sin. I'll just stay here where I know it's safe. And what happens? They never get to reach anyone. They never tell the gospel to anyone because they're often their little Christian bubble. Then you have the other side, which says, oh no, we need to reach everyone. So they go, and they become so much like the world that they're no different anyway. They got nothing to offer the world because they're just like them. Paul says, we got to be somewhere here in the middle. And it's not going to be easy, but we got to try. We got to be somewhere here in the middle. Got to be like Jesus. When the Pharisees, who are way over here, were like, oh, don't touch the sinners. When Jesus was going and eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, the Pharisees were like, oh, he's a friend of sinners. What was Jesus doing? Was Jesus being like them? No, he wasn't sinning. He wasn't joining them so he could sin with them. But he was over here, I'm going to do what I can with them so that I can win them. That's the point. Paul says to the Jew, I'll be like a Jew. To the Gentile, I'll be like a Gentile. In verse 22, he says, to the weak, I became as the weak. You know, to those who have a problem with the food that sacrificed to idols, because those are the ones that he called weak back in chapter 8, that's fine. What did he say in chapter 8? He ended it by saying, if my eating meat causes people to sin, I'll never eat meat again. I don't care. My concern is other people. And then we have a famous statement in verse 22. The end of verse 22, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now, there are a lot of people who know that sentence without really knowing the context or having studied it, and they think, oh, Paul is this wishy-washy, depending on the audience, just kind of says what he wants to say. He's a man-pleaser. He's just trying to get people to like him, get everyone on his side. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about changing the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is the same for everyone. We're all sinners who need to be saved by Christ. He's not talking about changing the message. He's talking about changing the messenger. Me adjusting to different people. Understanding that we all have different backgrounds. We all have different histories. We have different languages. We have different sense of humor. We have different things that we can handle and certain things we can't. And he's saying we need to be able to adjust to all these things so that then we can preach the gospel. So that people can get saved. We need to be prepared to cross these barriers so that people can get saved. Not say, well, you need to come over here first. They're not going to come over here first. We need to be like them so that they can then listen. Greg preached about Jesus in John chapter 4 with a Samaritan woman. Okay, first of all, men did not speak to women in public. Okay? Second, if you were a Jewish man, you did not speak to Samaritans. And you definitely did not touch their cups and drink from their plates and stuff like that. And Jesus goes to the Samaritan lady and says, hey, can I have some water to drink? She's shocked. What are you doing? This is not how we do things. The disciples come later. What are you doing? Why? Why is he speaking to Samaritans? We don't do that. Why is he drinking? Why is he asking to drink from a cup? We don't do that. Because he wants her to get saved. He doesn't care. I want her to get saved. He's not sinning by drinking from her cup or talking to a Samaritan woman. So I'll do it. Probably need to calm down. Sorry. Yeah. Let's close with verse 23. Verse 23. He says, "Now this I do for the gospel's sake." This is what it's all about. "This I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." Now, there's a translational issue there. Notice, if you're reading from the same translation that I am, the last word, the "you," it's in italics. It's not there in the original. I think that's a bad translation. If you look at it in the Greek, "I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may be partaker with it," with the gospel, not partaker with you, with the gospel. And you say, well, what does that mean? What does Paul mean when he says, "I do all this because I want to be a partaker, take part of the gospel"? What do you mean by that? Not 100% sure, but I read a gentleman who said something fascinating, and I was like, yeah. He said, what's the gospel? The gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to come and die for sinners. The gospel is that Jesus gave up his rights. Jesus became a servant that he may save people. Right? So Paul is saying, I want to be a part of that. Not that Paul is going to die for our sins. Obviously, only Christ can do that. But Paul is saying, I want to be like Christ. I want to do, from my part, whatever I can to be like Christ. I'm willing to die to self. I love people so much that I want to carry my cross. I want to give up my rights so that I can see other people get saved. I want to be like Jesus. That's what I want to do. Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. I want the gospel to spread. Let other people ask for their rights and demand to get paid, and let other people seek rewards and all these things. I don't care. I do everything for the sake of the gospel. I want to see people saved. I want to see people won to Christ. And this is not, he's not saying this for himself. He's going to end this entire section by saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ.